the opportunity to coordinate. So since May of this past year, we've been to Detroit, Newark, St. Louis, Columbus, Ohio, Aurora, Colorado, Southern California, Los Angeles, Memphis, Oklahoma City, Tampa, and Charlotte. In 9 days, I'll be in New Orleans. And what we've seen God do is we've seen 5,483 engagements of people been engaged and talked about, and the gospel has been shared with them. Out of those 5,483, 3,756 have received prayer. 2,780 have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen, amen. We have seen 161 on-site baptisms, 6 recorded healings, 20 children have been found. And when people say, and we don't mean this to be sarcastic, through different organizations, Free International and Can Freedom, but we take any volunteer that shows up and that is interested that morning. They have a 1-hour workshop, and then we go to the locations that we feel those children may be at. And some of them are runaways. Once we find them, we don't know specifically what they're engaged in, because we have to turn them over to the local authorities. And since they're minors, that information is disclosed. But most likely, we know that not only are they runaways, but we know mostly a high percentage of them are involved in some sort of human trafficking. We've been able to launch 2 churches. We have worked on physically construction 21 churches and 1 missions house. We've seen 4,303 people, volunteers, from 609 churches, all for the glory of God. Amen. So we thank God for that. Would you give the Lord a round of applause for that? And that's where we find ourselves. So in this, what I'm calling the second wave, will be in New Orleans. And then we're going to, let me see if I can remember all of these off the top of my head. From New Orleans, we're going to Little Rock. From Little Rock, we'll be in Queens, New York City. And then we're going to Albuquerque. From Albuquerque, we're going to Philadelphia. From Philadelphia, we'll be in Birmingham. From Birmingham, we're going over to, let me see, Birmingham, Las Vegas. From Las Vegas, we'll be in San Juan, Puerto Rico. From San Juan, Puerto Rico, we're going to Greenville, South Carolina. And then we're going to go to Plano, Texas. And so we're scheduled all the way up to February 2025. And you may ask why. Friends, time is running out. And people are lost. And 2 things they are. They are the saved and they are the lost. And eternity is certain for both of them. And Jesus is the only answer. And that's why we have a passion. And as long as God has given us the strength and the health, we will continue on this assignment for the glory of God. Amen. There is one thing that we do love about moving from Puerto Rico over to the Ozarks. And I need to say this, it's those Kansas City Chiefs. Amen. We celebrated last Sunday, and we got to be able to see the game. I came right off. Thank God I got to see from the second quarter on, because my wife picked me up at the airport, and then we went straight to a friend's house. And we thank God for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to this one verse, Exodus 33:14. And once you find it, I think it's going to be on the screen as well. I want to just pray. I know the presence of the Lord is with us, but that the Holy Spirit will help us as we go into His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Cross Creek Church. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for Seek and Save. We just thank you that we know you, God. And we just pray for the next few moments, Holy Spirit, would you just breathe upon your Word? Every one of us need to be affirmed of what your Word is continually telling us, that there is nothing like your presence, Lord. There is nothing like abiding in you, Lord. The world is trying to distract us. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will breathe on this Word, that your Word will be like fire, and that every one of us that hear it will be like wood, and your Word will consume us. That when we leave this place, we'll just continually talk about you. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 33:14 says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" On Saturday, October 28, 2023, I woke up early that morning in Memphis, Tennessee, exhausted. Day 6 of Seek and Save Memphis, after the grocery packing of 5,000 bags, and there was a small group of people that were there, only about 40 of us remained to pack those groceries. And I remember waking up that Saturday morning, driving through Memphis, Tennessee. It's the first time I've been there on the fifth day, exhausted from all the hard work. And as I was driving to my destination, all I wanted within my soul was the presence of God. I didn't want my family that morning, as much as I love them. I didn't want a bed for more sleep. I didn't want to go back to the hotel and just get into a bed and sleep more. I didn't want any type of comfort food. I didn't want to eat something to make me feel better, not a cup of coffee or a donut or any type of comfort food. I didn't even want laughter. Laughter helps you because it's joyful. I didn't want the comfort of the community, of anybody, of people that I missed, not even the comfort or the community of my amazing wife. All my soul really wanted and was yearning for was the presence of God. Friends, when exhaustion hits your life, what is it that you desire? My spirit knew that it was the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, you are safe. In the presence of God, you can be refreshed. In the presence of God, you can rest. The same way that Moses was told by the Lord, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses was walking through a desert with close to 2 million people that had no sense of direction of where they were going, and they just needed to obey and listen. And he was appointed by God to lead 2 million. Can you imagine the different personalities in 2 million people? Can you imagine the type of complaining? Can you imagine how many people were giving suggestions? So the Lord knew ahead of time, "My presence will go with you. And as my presence is with you, you can be assured of one thing, Moses. I will give you rest." And churches today have facilities. They have programs. They have retreats. They have campuses. They have outreaches. Churches today have things to give away. Many attractions. But unfortunately, many lack the presence of God. And what I've seen across America, and I've seen it in different cities, those are the cities that I've told you, but I have to also do site meetings. And when I do a site meeting, I have to go 8 to 9 months beforehand and meet with the district leaders and their pastors, and we begin the first preliminary steps of planning before we arrive to their cities. So I've been to about 25 cities within the last 15 months. And I see the same pain and the same hurt. The only thing is, if the city has more density of people, you see more of it. If the city has a less amount of people, like 400,000, you see less of it. But it's the same thing all over America. And there are thirsty souls who know Christ, or thirsty souls who don't know Christ, and they are searching for the presence of a living God. Why are they searching so desperately? Because it is the only space that can give you and the world rest. The presence of God is the only space. If you find the presence here, if you find the presence in your home, if you find the presence driving in your car as you're going to work, it is that space where you can truly find rest. Rest to a weary soul. A soul that is discontented. A spirit that is exhausted. A person that is drained. Discontentment, exhaustion, problems, and fatigue may all differ between people. but all people will experience it in different types of seasons of their life. Every one of us will experience problems. Every one of us will experience fatigue at one point. Every one of us will be discontented, and we need rest. Some may need this morning rest from work. Some this morning may need rest from the troubles of finances. Some may need rest from the troubles of their body, that they're going through physical challenges. Some may need rest from relationships. You're going through relational hardships. Some may need rest from their children's relational hardship, or their children's problems, or their family's problems. This morning, you can fill in the blank of where you may need rest from. But one thing is certain that I can tell you, you will find rest in the presence of God. For this reason is why we must have presence-filled churches. Because as they come through those doors, they're going to need rest. And if they don't find the presence of our Almighty God in that situation, then this space that we create for them is not sufficient for them. And they will keep searching and searching. And the enemy will keep dangling the carrot to go to other places and other spaces that will try to fill the weariness of their souls. And what they need is a fresh drink from the well of the Holy Spirit. What they need is the fresh breath of God in their lives that they can say, for a moment, I have rest. Even though their problems remain once they walk out the doors, at that church, they found rest. Are you with me this morning, Cross Creek? You can say amen. You can talk to me this morning. I like that. I know the Baptists don't say amen and the Presbyterians don't say amen, but we're a spirit-filled church. So you can talk back to me this morning. Hallelujah. So God told Moses in Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. When God is in the room, when his spirit is in the atmosphere, because we praise and worship him, we can be assured we will find rest. The problems and situations will be present and possibly ongoing, but the rest of God will come upon our weary souls. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, and see, what happened to me in Memphis was I was going and going and going. And see, we would find rest every morning. It was for certain in Connected Life. We would find rest when the men came to pray before. I would gather a group of men. Sometimes it was 5 men. Sometimes it went up to 12 men. Sometimes it went up to 20 men. But every Sunday morning, we would be from 7 to 8 o'clock, and we would finish with Holy Communion. And there were some mornings that we were tired physically, but there were some mornings that where we prayed, we sensed the presence of God. And my soul was longing for that. Even though I was connected with God, there was just a season that I was just working and working in the space of having the presence. Jesus said in these words in Matthew 11:28, and you can follow me on the screen. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. An invitation from our Lord Jesus, a beckoning to all who are weary, tired, discontented, to come to him and he will give you rest. Now let's go to the Old Testament in Psalms 91:1, expresses it through the Holy Spirit. Whoever dwells or abides in the shelter of the Most High, that means that you have an intimacy with him. The scripture says you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When you take the time and I take the time to abide in the beauty of God, in the secret place of intimacy with him, the effect of that, or the reward of that, is you will find rest. What does that rest look like? And I want to put it in this words as an analogy. It's a benefit package. When God gives you rest, he's giving you a benefits package. Let's call it the human resources of heaven. The human resources of heaven for your well-being and your welfare. The first thing is that the rest of the presence of God is, it protects and it covers you. It is a refuge. Psalms 91, 4 and 14 says it in these words. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. What a beautiful imagery of words. You think about the maybe how the little chicks run to the mothers. You think about how sometimes you're cold and a mother just puts her jacket over you or tucks you in bed, your dad. And you feel that protection, that covering. The scripture says, he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find. Say is the presence of God. We will find is the presence of God. Fear is removed. And if you're fearful this morning, if you're anxious of anything, it's really a symptom that you need the presence of God. See, your body gives you signs when you're going to get sick, that you have symptoms. Some of us sneeze. Some of us cough. Some of us feel an itchy throat. And you have a lot of anxiety that is going to push you to the presence of God. Because look what David says in Psalms 91, 5 and 6. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Fear is removed when you are in the presence of God. Amen. And they're still very active. Life so strongly. And his space fills all needs. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit this morning. Another benefit package is angels are your guardians because of his presence. Psalms. Ways. Can you think about that for a moment? Can we just stand there and know that the presence of God tells us that we will have angels that are protecting us in every way? Another one is that the presence of God gives you and me authority. So when we step into the space where the presence of God is filled in our lives because we are abiding in him, Psalms 91:13 says it this way. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And I put it in these words. When you walk with the presence of God, you have authority. You have authority over that serpent. You have authority over that situation. You have authority over that lion that is trying to roar fear in your life. But the scripture says, since you just walked in the presence, since you just came out of the presence, since the presence walks with you, you have been given authority. Not only authority to make it quiet, but the Bible says authority to trample over it. To show that you are a child of the living God. And that you have the strength and the power and the ability to submit it under your feet. Can you give the Lord a good round of applause this morning? Let's continue with the benefits package, amen? With the human resources of heaven. Presence gives access and response. I think I love all of them, but there's two of them that I really like. And this is one of the ones. When you are in the presence of God, you get access to God. Access that he can hear you. Think about that. The creator of humanity, the eternal one, the ancient of days, the one who is high and lifted up, who is holy forever. His humility is so kind and his greatness is so big that he gives you and me an opportunity to have access to him, that he can hear our petitions. But not only does he hear our petitions, he responds to them as well. Sometimes, as the brother said this morning, we may not like some certain response because it can be like, not now. It can be a no. But sometimes it can be affirming that you get that no, but he knows your name. Wouldn't that be encouraging? that even though he's going to say no, Bert, but at least you called me Bert. You know my name, God. You know everything I said. My wife showed me a video of a gentleman that was hunting. And as he was hunting, he said he's been in a long dry spell. And he said that morning, he was looking at an eagle far away. And he said, Lord, if you hear me this morning, just let me get close to that eagle. He was admiring the beauty of creation. And suddenly, as he's taking the video, he points a little bit to his shoulder, and the eagle landed on his shoulder. He had access, and he had a response from God. Amen? How many of us have ever had an eagle land on us? Amen? And it was a big, massive eagle. Psalms 91:15 says it this way. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. God, I just thank you that you listen to us. God, I just thank you that we have access to you because of Jesus. God, I thank you that you are a true Father, God. You are true to your word, Lord. And we just take a moment just to thank you for the integrity of who you are, God. We thank you that we have, dear Lord, the blessing and the space that you hear us, you call us by name, and you are willing to even answer us, God. You're such a good Father. And we pray that you will fill our lives with your presence in Jesus' name. Now, here's the other one that I like a lot. The presence of God extends life and provides salvation. Psalms 91:16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who wants the secret to a long life? Amen? The scripture says it's not found in medicine, even though we thank God for medicine. The scripture says it's not found in fitness, even though the scripture does talk about us honoring the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for science. Science is a blessing to discover God. We thank God for technology, that God has given us technology. But the scripture says right here, the secret to a long life is only found and given by God, because you and I practice the presence of God. Amen? So we can sometimes be bold enough to say, I believe God will give me a good, long, satisfying life. Why? Because I practice his presence in my life. And the Bible says that as long as I practice the presence of God in my life, Psalms 91:16 says, he will satisfy me with a long life. But then he says, and show him my salvation. Comprehensive biblical salvation is not a one-time thing, or it's not one event. You just come to Jesus and that's salvation. Comprehensive biblical salvation is continual. Amen? God is saving us continually. God is saving us sometimes from our poor decisions. God is saving us sometimes from a sickness. God is saving us sometimes from an accident. God is saving us sometimes from an enemy. God is saving us sometimes from an interruption that can actually befall on us. Salvation is continually when we call out to him. So I want to give you a word imagery or an allegory to understand the importance of the presence of God. When you go to these big cities, you find these big parking lots. And these big parking lots, you have hundreds and even thousands of cars that come into these parking lots. And as you go in, before you go in, you press the button on a meter. It opens up, and they give you a ticket. And before you leave that parking lot, you have to validate that ticket. And when you validate that ticket, it is a receipt in your hand that you can exit, that you've met the requirement of the parking lot, and you can actually leave that parking space. If you don't have that receipt, if you don't have that ticket validated, you cannot leave it. Your bill is still open. But once you have that and you pay for it, it is a receipt in your hand that you can leave. The presence of God in our lives and in our church community is a receipt and it validates that God is pleased. Let me say that again. The presence of God in our lives and in our church community is a receipt that you can hold on to, and it validates that God is pleased with you and he's pleased with the church. I'll take you to Exodus 33, 16 and 17, and let the scriptures speak on their own. But I'll give you a little bit of a backstory. Before these words were spoken in Exodus 33, 16 and 17, Moses was asking for God's presence because he was about to journey in a dark, unknown desert out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, which the scriptures call the promised land. He knew that trail. They didn't have streetlights back then. They didn't have flashlights. They did have fire, and they did probably have oil. But I'm talking about that's pitch dark. In a desert with 2 million peoples, pregnant women, probably disabled people. They had everything there. And he had to journey into this place. And this is where he goes and he says, if your presence goes with me. And this is how the Lord answered. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. The presence of God in Cross Creek, the presence of God in your individual life is a receipt that God is pleased with us. See, we need receipts today. Not only do we need receipts for our purchase, we live in such a digital age where so much is spoken and so much is said that if you send a text to somebody, you go, I got a receipt. You said it. I got a photo of you. You were there. I got a receipt of it. When God's presence is in our lives, when you know that you know, when it's not emotion, it's not sensationalism, when it's not fanfare, it's not worked up, when you know that God walked into the room in wherever space you're at, it is your receipt that he's pleased with you. I have seen the anointing of God, and sometimes I'll just share it with you. I was in Puerto Rico. This was the beginning of Puerto Rico. And I've seen the beauty and the presence of God in church in many ways. But this is the one that strikes me the most. We went into a rundown. It's not even a crack house, because back then it was heroin and ketamine. So before fentanyl even exploded in the United States, it was over there as a test run. And I remember that we became friends with the drug dealers. And I would tell them, I've never seen anything like this in America, because I've lived before in the States. And he says, give it time. And I remember he told me wordly, he goes, give it time, 10 years. And now we see that fentanyl is destroying our sons and our daughters across America. And I remember that we were in this place. The gentleman was about 23 years old. He was thirsty for the Lord. He was right by his deathbed. And we walked into this really bad place. And we all knew, you're about to die. You can't do anything else, because the pain is so severe in his body that he needs to continue to get high. But his soul was thirsty. And we began to share the plan of salvation with him. And we began to preach the gospel in a loving way, not in a condescending way. And right there, that gentleman gave his heart to God. And there was a presence of God that came into that place that was so strong. And you got to understand that the mandate, heaven wants to reach people. God has an understanding of eternity like you and me don't. And he knows that time is limited. So he's throwing his net to take all types of fish in. No matter what color, no matter what situation, they have a moment to repent. And when this gentleman repented, there was a presence that just walked in there that to this day, almost 15 years later, I'm still communicating about it. It was a receipt that God was pleased. Amen? The Bible says, shine your face upon me. Lift up your countenance. So when God will show his face to the people, it was that he was smiling upon them, was positive. But not only can he shine his face upon you, he can come into your space. And when he comes into your space, it is a guarantee that he's pleased with you and me. And I pray this morning that you may feel the presence, that you may want more of it. Because there's nothing like when Daddy tells you, I'm pleased. I'm pleased with you. In closing, God's presence will give us rest, and it assures that he's pleased with us. We can invite or seek God's presence in many ways. We can humble ourselves and repent. We can praise and give thanks and then worship him. We can spend quality time in his word. We obey his word. We do his will. But today we will receive the Holy Communion. Because the Holy Communion is another way to receive and provoke the presence of God. Because every time you take the Holy Communion, you are remembering the Lord's death. You are honoring the Son of the living God. So if we can just take the moment now and begin to pass out the elements. And maybe I ask this morning that maybe just the pianist will come and join me and help me on the background. And as we begin to prepare our minds and our hearts to distribute the elements, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will invade this space. We want to know this morning that you are pleased with us. We thank you. We thank you this morning.
Remember, the bread is at the bottom of the container there, so you want to take off the label for the bread first.
So there's many ways that we can invite or seek God's presence. But the Holy Communion is definitely partaking of the Lord's table. And friends, I want to be able to say these couple of words. But when we receive the Holy Communion, we receive the promise and truth of it. And through that promise and truth, God's grace is released through it. And I'll say it in these words. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 26 says, for I receive from the Lord, this is what Paul said, for what I received from the Lord, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Holy communion is to receive. Holy communion is to remember. Holy communion is to rest. We're receiving from the Lord. We're remembering his death. And we're resting on his finished work. When he said, it is finished. So may you take the bread this morning. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this Sunday morning where we gather as one body. We thank you that your body was broken for us, Jesus. We thank you that you thought about us in our sickness. Your word says that the bread of the children is to be healed, Lord. Your word says, Lord, that by the stripes on your body, by how you were bruised, that we can find healing in it this morning. And Lord, we rest on that. We rest on every single person that is feeling sick, what the scripture says. But moreover, we remember your body given to us. May you eat of it this morning. And in the same way, your word says that this is the new covenant, Lord. It's a perpetual, everlasting covenant. We don't need any more sacrifice. We don't need to perform any type of religious duty. We just need to believe and obey Jesus. And your word says that our sins are forgiven. So I take the moment just to ask, dear Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins so that we may provoke and have your presence continually in our lives. And as we take this cup, we remember you and your death. You may drink of it. Friends, thank you for inviting me this morning. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will continually fill our spaces. If anyone has a need this morning, we would love to pray for you. But if not, we will just continue maybe in a few moments of worship.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission.
All is arranged.
I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love.
Come on.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, my Savior all the day long.
As Bert said, if you need prayer for healing this morning, I'm going to encourage you to come on up to the front so we can pray with you. If you're going through certain challenges and you want us to pray with you, I want to invite you also to come on up. Because the presence of the Lord is here. And it's not just by faith that I'm declaring that. I'm declaring that because I'm experiencing it and you are experiencing it. And when His presence is there, when His anointing is there, anything can happen. So this morning, if you're sick or if you have some challenges and you want us to pray with you, I'm going to encourage you to come on up front as we continue to worship the Lord.